Let's pray. Really, Lord, very simply, we just want to ask that you will speak into our hearts through your word. Lord, some of the words that have been spoken there are words that we've known and read and seen in Christmas cards, on Christmas cards. But Lord, we pray, illuminate these words, make them real. Make them come alive in our hearts and our lives again this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a couple of photographs. We'll do one photograph, as I've mentioned to Kathy already. What can you see there, folks? Black box. Anybody else? What can you see there? Frame. Yeah. Rectangle. Possibilities, maybe. Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Anybody else? Darkness, indeed. Yeah. Oh, there's no wrong answer, really. Interesting. Just go on to the next one. It's exactly the same photograph. One has got a candle lit in it, and the other one hasn't. Do you know the light shines in the darkness? This is John 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. In fact, there's not a good word for comprehend or overcome. Sometimes it's used overcome. Sometimes it's used understood. Apparently, and I'm not a Bible teacher, but I did some study on this a long time ago. And the word actually used is a word called catalambano, which means to seize with violence, with force. So the light, when it shines in the darkness is obliterated. It cannot stand in the darkness has to flee. When the light shines in the darkness. Do you know, if we were just to reflect on that, just for a little bit of time, just to think about that, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has to flee. This is a really key verse for me, being a photographer. In the days where you had to have a darkroom, you had to get the light out. And the kids used to open the garage door and the light would come flooding in. And and the light just bounces everywhere. We'll just go back on that other picture. And then we'll just go between the two. The light, one candle. It's a cheapy one as well from Lidl. It burns out within a half an hour or so. But one candle. And suddenly it starts to bring it to life. I just find that absolutely incredible. The light that shines in the darkness. St. Francis of Assisi says, "All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle." When you think about that for a moment, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. You know, as we read at this time of year, don't we? We talk about the idea, you know, that Jesus being the light of the world, and Jesus is the light of the world. I think it's John 8:12. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But he also says to us in Matthew 5, you know, that you are a light of the world. You, as in I, we, you know, we are a light to the world. This, if you like, is a lighthouse in the darkness. You know, my great-grandfather was a lighthouse keeper. And my grandfather was actually born in Southstack on Holyhead. It's You know, so forget that for a minute, but just think about it for a moment. You know, in terms of that sense of we are lights of the world, shining our light into a dark world. There is huge amounts of darkness out there at this time. If we just stop and think about it, you know, just a conversation that I had this morning as I was coming in, you know, about depression and mental health. I've never, ever, ever known it. I've been doing my work in the community for 18 years, more than 18 years. When I first started helping people with debt, you get one or two, which is a really hard case, and it was really difficult. I'll tell you what, if the team get one which is really easy, they're doing well. It's really difficult out there. There's a sense of despair amongst young people. There's a new report out by the Centre for Social Justice. It's on the BBC website. But do look at it. You know, it talks about the number of people, the number of young people that are suffering with mental health. I think there's lots of things involved in it. And one of them I definitely think is social media, but that's me, and you don't have to believe that. But I think, you know, the pressures of this world, you know, we're this 24/7 world that says you've got to be going all the time, when God says, take a day of rest. One day of rest to stop. Imagine a world where it stopped. I'm old enough to remember a day when you couldn't go shopping on a Sunday. I'm old enough to remember a time when I weren't allowed to go out to play on a Sunday. There was no, you stayed at home, and that was it. Sundays were your best clothes day. Sunday was special. It was a special day. It was called the Day of the Lord. And of course, that's all been eroded now. In our busyness, our constant strain and stress for more. And when you think the Sabbath, you know, if you look at the Ten Commandments and you broke it out into a little, you know, into a pie chart, the biggest in number of words in the Ten Commandments, guess what? It's the Sabbath. You know, there is no end to that. You know, when at the end of day seven, there is no end of day seven, by the way. Every other one, you know, when God made, you know, light and then darkness, and well, not light, but, you know, separated it, at the end of day seven, there is no end. There is no end. In other words, it's a Sabbath rest. God invites us into a rest with him. And so some of this stuff, this darkness that we're kind of embracing, it's not normal. And so we, as Christians who light our lights, by the way, so in other words, there's nothing special about us apart from we light our lights in the light of Christ. And God pours out his Spirit in us. And so that light begins to shine in us. That we, in our work, we in our neighborhoods, suddenly become lights in the darkness. That we as a church, when all you lights are lighting up, suddenly the brightness starts to increase. You know, when you think, could I really get dressed and all that, you know, with that light on, that candlelight? No, I've got to put a bigger light on. But if I was to light lots more candles, suddenly things would begin to get a lot brighter. That's only one candlelight. You imagine if we got lots of candles, if every single one here in the dark was to light up a candle, suddenly wouldn't the darkness just disappear? We are lights in a dark world. And we really do need to shine our lights. But the only way we can do this is by digging deeper into the light of the world. And the light of the world is Christ. I have come that you may have life. In John, 1 John, he speaks of three things there. You know, light, life, and love. Jesus is light, and he gives us light. But it's not just for us to get full up on it, although you wouldn't believe that, but it's to radiate the goodness of God in a needy and dark world. Well, that's the introduction. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. In Matthew 4, this is Matthew 4, if you read it, 12 to 17, you'll see the fulfillment. But I'm not going to go down that route. I'm not going to give you a history lesson about what was going on in Isaiah or anything like that. But the people walking in darkness, tell me that people are not walking in darkness at the moment. People are walking in deep darkness. There is darkness. People are in fear. The media doesn't help, does it? The way in which it just keeps on pumping out the worst of this, the worst of that. There is deep, potentially deep darkness. But I'll tell you what, there is good news. There is good news, because let's not just focus on the bad news, because it gets so much better. Because it's like suddenly it says that we have a light has dawned. The people, and then it says, but they've seen a great light. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It's imagine you're in darkness and suddenly the light starts to raise up on the horizon, and you suddenly start to see that there is hope out there. The times that we'll go and talk to somebody who's got a debt problem or something like that, and we don't actually bring any help in the situation, but all we've done is we've talked to them. In actual fact, all we've done is we've listened to them. Suddenly there seems to be like a little bit of light that starts to shine in their lives. Hannah, when she was crying out to God and just saying, I want a baby. You know, there was no answer, because it took another 9 months at least for a baby to come along. But she went away with peace in her heart. There's something that happens sometimes when we, you know, that light that comes. There is fresh hope. There's always fresh hope out there. And we are the hope of the world. We as a churches are hopes of the world. We can't go on like this, can we? We've got to do something. And we need to pray. We need to get before God and just cry out to him that God, that you will have mercy on us. You have mercy upon us as a nation. You know, we just need God to light this darkness. I don't know if anybody knows or heard about this Asbury outpouring. I think it was a Methodist church school over in America called Asbury. Well, cut a long story short, that there was an outpouring of God's Spirit and mental health reduced amongst young people. I'm not saying there's anything, I'm just stating what actually happened. I'm not saying anything by it. But when God works, maybe it changes people's outlook. In fact, they always used to say in the old days that I heard someone say that, you know, people who were downhearted, they used to go make them count chimney pots because it meant that they looked up. I'm not saying it's the right way to go about it, but it's a sense of looking at something a bit different. But anyway, one of the verses that really did strike me in this, the whole of this, is Isaiah 9, verse 7. I don't know if it's possible to get that up there, Kathy, but because I haven't asked you, so don't worry if you don't. Of the greatness of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. What do you think a kingdom of Jesus will look like? Think about it for a minute. You know, justice, great, we've got it up there. Justice and righteousness. What do you think a kingdom will really look like? Reading this verse, I've never seen this before as I was reading it this week. Verse 7, and verse 6, we all know, it's always on a Christmas card, but verse 7, he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness. I think that in a kingdom of justice, people won't have to go begging for bread as they do in our day. You know, I can honestly tell you story upon story where a person has been working all their lives, they get sick, and then they have to claim benefits. Oh my goodness me. Anybody think you punish them for getting sick? We had a gentleman that came across and spoke at an event recently, back in October, and he agreed to come by taxi, or Anne picked him up. And when he spoke, the problem was he was a welder and been working in a welding environment and didn't know that somebody had put a chemical down. And then suddenly, when he did his work, he breathed in like what's called mustard gas. And his lungs were, from that moment on, he could no longer work. And so he said in his, when he was talking to the people that had gathered, he said something along the lines of, well, I can't thank Anne for all her help in getting me PIP. I tried in 2019. And of course, it took till 2022 before we could get involved and actually get it sorted out for this man. And when you think, this is a man who has to beg for bread. He was coming to the food bank, for goodness sake. We don't want anyone coming to the food bank. We want a world where we don't need food banks. I just don't want things like that. Imagine that if we were upholding with justice and righteousness, if justice and righteousness were being played out before us in our land, in our day now, what would it look like? What would it look like? I wonder. Heaven on earth. Time is short, I'll stop. But you know, I feel myself, and we're going to be praying the Lord's Prayer shortly, which is great. But I feel myself just praying regularly. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm praying your kingdom come. God, that your kingdom would come. Your kingdom of justice and righteousness would come again. That on earth as it is in heaven, in Haverhill as it is in heaven. Why not Haverhill? You imagine if suddenly the light, that suddenly God poured out his spirit on Haverhill, the lights that suddenly would light up in our town. And then imagine if it started in Bury St. Edmunds and then it started in Cambridge. Suddenly, you know, if you looked across, you know, looked down on a world, suddenly there would be lights that were springing up all over the country. When God is on the move, come, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray that God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my life. And of course, that means about surrendering our wills to his will. That's what it talks about. Yet not my will, but yours be done, said Jesus, who we follow. More of his will being done, less of us. I'm kind of reminded of 35 years ago when I sat here almost to the day and a man called Norman Burrows preached and he spoke about that we needed to take self off of the throne and replace it with Jesus on the throne. there needs to be a massive letting go of dethroning of self and inviting Christ, making Christ king. Let Jesus be lifted higher above our town. Let Jesus be exalted. More of Jesus in us. That's where it's going to come. More of Jesus in us will play out in a world. We will speak it. We will speak it because we'll have no choice but to speak it, because our hearts and our, they'll be bursting with Christ. That's when that light gets brighter, when we can dispel some of the darkness, when we cry out to God. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and I've said it before, probably say it lots of times, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that's it. We've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek my face. Then will I forgive your sin. And it goes on to say, then I will heal your land. That is the prescription. That is what's got to happen. We've got to seek God, but we can't do it half-heartedly. There's got to be passion. We've really got to mean it. We've got to mean it with business. We've got to press in to the God that can make a difference. Oh, light of the world, come and shine in my heart today. Expose the dark areas of my heart. Oh God, there's so much to do. Chase the darkness away. Chase every bit of darkness out of my life. Lord, help me to surrender more of my will to your will. Oh God, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we long for you. As we kind of wait and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we talk about you coming and we light candles, which is great. But Lord, we pray, come again in our midst. Come and do an amazing work in our town once again, in Jesus' name. Amen.